This is McKinsey Recruiting, a podcast created to help you learn more about McKinsey and Company. My name is Philip, and together with Sydney, our other podcast host, I'm here to answer all your questions about McKinsey Recruiting and introduce you to some of our McKinsey personalities. In this episode, we will talk about environmental sustainability at McKinsey. Our guest today is Jop. He joined the Amsterdam office in 2013 and is currently in his role as Director of Environmental Sustainability. Jop will tell us more about how McKinsey deals with sustainability topics, how small changes in our behavior can make a difference, and how all this relates to his personal passions, which he discovered as a kid. Are you ready? Then let's start our podcast, McKinsey Recruiting. Hi, Jop. Thanks for being a guest on our McKinsey Recruiting podcast and a warm welcome from Cologne to Amsterdam.
Thank you, Philip. Great to be here.
Jop, I know that you used to play water polo before you joined McKinsey and spent some time on the Dutch national water polo team. I heard you started to play extensively again while you were on educational leave pursuing your MBA in New York at Columbia University. What is it about being in the water that excites you? A colleague even said that you can still swim in any direction even if four people try to stop you from doing so.
Well, I've always done sports that have something to do with water in my life. So yes, indeed, water polo has been the biggest one there, but also sailing, also ice skating and rowing in on a rowing boat on the water. So it's always had something to do with water. And it typically had something to do with team sports, which I really enjoy.
And have you always enjoyed being a part of a team or a group, someone very close to you also said that you're a great team player.
Yeah, no, I really love doing sports in a team and also, you know, at work, oftentimes, almost always, we work as a team. And yeah, I really enjoy that. You know, like having the different people on the team with complementary skills, helping each other perform at their best, win together is much more fun than alone or more in business, like in your day-to-day work. It may not always be about winning, but about getting something done, achieving something. It's much more fun to do that together, to get that done together, and than all on yourself. And you can just perform much better when you do that in a team.
Great. You are already getting to your work. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But I know you already said it. In your free time, I understand you row, you cycle, you hike. You seem to have a very active lifestyle and say that sports always have been a big part of your life. And you love to be out in the nature. I've also heard about that. And a friend of yours even told me when you were a little kid, you sometimes used to walk into nature reserves in the Netherlands with a big plastic bag and would start to collect garbage. Why this passion for nature?
Yeah, I've always loved nature and being outdoors. Indeed, like when I was young, I would sometimes collect garbage from nature because I felt bad for the animals. And I still do when I am on vacation somewhere and I see all of the trash in the ocean. Or when I see the, you know, the natural forests being cut down, like it does a lot to me, and I care a lot about nature, and I enjoy being in nature.
As a child, you also knew that you wanted to do something to save the environment. You also told me you considered studying forestry. Spoiler alert for all the listeners: you did not study forestry. Why did you decide to study business in Amsterdam?
Yeah, good question. So at high school, I was really hesitating between forestry and economics. I knew the objective, the end goal, which for me would be to save the rainforest or nature in general and make a big contribution to that aim. But I did indeed choose to study economics. And the reason that for that decision was that I thought it would be a good idea to try and harness the power of business to create a more sustainable world. And the alternative path would, of course, been to choose a more scientific path and or maybe join the NGO world sooner on to protect the nature in that way.
And in 2013, you started a career at McKinsey. And is there a particular reason why you chose a career in consulting then?
I think consulting, I wanted to develop myself. And I wanted to have a broad understanding of business, of strategy, not focus too fast on one particular industry or company. What consulting and McKinsey helped me to do was to get that broader understanding of business as a whole and see many different industries, work in many different countries, because everywhere it's really different how business works and how it works culturally. So that's why I chose for consulting to start my career with. Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit more about your work as a consultant?
Yeah, I worked in several countries in Europe, Scandinavia, Greece, Western Europe, and also in quite some places in Africa, including in South Africa and Western Africa. Topic wise, it's been pretty diverse. I've worked in the public sector, I've worked in the financial sector, energy industry. It's been a diverse experience.
In your first years, you've already said you've been in a generalist consulting role, like many new joiners who come to the firm, and you then focused on topics that also really mattered for you personally, which is, as we know now, sustainability. Your colleagues agree that you burn for everything around that topic. Now you are in the role of director of environmental sustainability at McKinsey. So can you tell me, what does someone do who is the director of environmental sustainability at McKinsey?
Yeah, sure. So together with my team, we are basically running the group that is addressing McKinsey's own environmental footprint. That's the biggest component of it. And that includes measuring all of the environmental impacts that we have, strategy and target setting to address that, minimizing the impact, offsetting greenhouse gas emissions that we have not been able to eliminate yet, working with our suppliers, including the airlines and the hotel chains, to embed sustainability into our procurement practices, reporting both internally and externally, engaging colleagues. It's very diverse, but it's basically what every company does or should do to address their own environmental footprint. It's not a consulting thing. That's the main thing I'm doing right now. On the one hand side, and on the other hand side, I lead some of our knowledge collaborations with the World Economic Forum and the World Business Council for Sustainable Development when it comes to the environment. And I also share back the experience of what we learned on our own environmental journey with our clients.
That sounds like real impact, but I want to get to know more information about that. So how can I imagine your typical workday day? Except for drinking loads of coffee, as I've heard from your colleague, what do you do every day when you go to work?
It varies a lot. I walk or I cycle to the office, and right now I'm working from home from my living room. I have work sessions with my team, which is spread out over the world from America to Asia. So in the morning, I sometimes have a work session with colleagues in Asia. In my afternoon, I have a work session with some colleagues in America. I can join a meeting with a supplier sometime in the day to learn more and make plans for how they can get more sustainable over time. I check in with a team member who may be based in a different office, or any of our green team members, I'll get to that later on, who has a question for a local initiative. Maybe a quick client call in between when a client wants to learn something or wants to hear about how we did something ourselves when we addressed our environmental footprint. And around that, I find some time to process a couple of emails and maybe read up on the latest environmental news reports that came out. It's my days are typically quite varied.
And then on the weekend you go hiking, or do the other kind of sports that we've already mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. In the evening, I may go to the swimming pool. I swim some laps. On the weekend, I go for a walk, see friends. Not many mountains around Amsterdam, so the hikes are quite flat. It's not the most physically intense activity, but yeah.
Why are you personally so passionate about your role as Director of Environmental Sustainability?
So I've always wanted to create a sustainable world and to make an impact. And I feel I have that opportunity in my current role, not just because McKinsey is quite a big company, with more than 30,000 people all over the world. And just addressing that footprint really well does make a difference. But what also really inspires me is this idea of that by doing that well, the impact can actually be much bigger than our own footprint. When you work with suppliers and the whole supplier embarks on a new sustainable program, or when you inspire others to follow, if you lead by example, and if you share your experience with others and help them also get better. So that's I think what inspires me the most. So we are already big ourselves and it does make a difference, but then sharing that with others, it actually makes an even bigger impact.
Okay, many may speculate that the lifestyle of a consultant is probably not the most environmental friendly one. As a consultant, you travel often to your clients, and this aspect may also be something that many candidates find attractive about the industry, and also McKinsey for sure. But on the other hand, McKinsey is doing a lot to make itself more sustainable. So my question to you is, what kind of activities is McKinsey doing here?
Yeah, good question. So you're right. We do travel, and that accounts for the majority of our environmental impact, the travel. The other component is made up by our office buildings. And that travel comes with a carbon footprint. We just committed last month to set a science-based emissions reduction target, which means a target aligned with climate science. So basically doing your fair share to help the world get on track for the Paris Agreement's ambition level. And travel is part of that. So we're trying to find smart ways to travel more sustainably. We're trying to learn from our experience during the COVID-19 crisis with better virtual collaboration, more often taking the train, more flexible working models, which is not only beneficial to the environment, but also to our people and to our clients.
These initiatives that have been launched around environmental sustainability are global initiatives. As a side note, in our Cologne office here, where I am based, I know that we have a very active green team. Maybe you can explain us a bit more about this and other initiatives at McKinsey.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an amazing network of green teams around the world in more than 100 offices. It's about 1,000 colleagues that all drive local initiatives to make our footprint, to address our footprint. Because me and my team, we're six people more or less. You cannot change everything on the ground in all of the offices remotely. We need to have people on the ground. We need to know people. Like, it may be different in every context. We need to get creative in every office. Different things may be more relevant in various offices. And to have this big community of colleagues who all volunteer to, next to their day-to-day role, make their own office more sustainable is really cool. And it's, I think that's basically our approach. There's lots of synergies between a central team that helps and facilitates and helps to share best practices. And then we have the green teams that address their own location's footprint.
So everyone at McKinsey who joins McKinsey can join the local green team, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would strongly encourage everyone to do that who joins.
I may also join the green team next week. Sounds great. Do you have any example or other examples of local initiatives or anything that comes up to your mind? Anything funny that you've heard around the globe?
Well, there's a lot of stuff happening. We have green teams that are actively working to get everyone in the train. We have green teams that have embarked on a journey to get their office to zero waste. We have green teams that help their office switch to renewable energy. It's really diverse to electrify the company cars. Like, there's not many offices where we have cars, but there's electrify the fleet. It's really diverse, I think there's about 300 initiatives that we can go through. But this is just a set of examples from that list.
You also said something I found very inspiring before our podcast. That is, if everyone in his her job thinks about how to include sustainability in their everyday decisions at work, this would be a game changer. What do you mean by that?
What I mean with that is that, we all have a responsibility and we can all do a lot in our personal lives to live more sustainably. But for most of us, there's an even bigger opportunity at work, because sustainability is really irrelevant for almost every company. And it doesn't matter whether, you have a full-time role in this area at your company, or whether it's out of height and you volunteer on the side, or whether you start a discussion about a topic in your company with your manager, with your colleagues. It can be incredibly, incredibly powerful. And too often, I think we underestimate the relevance of this topic for companies. Like, it's basically like impacting everything and everyone. So, I would just encourage everyone not to just live sustainably in your personal time, but to also help your company or help your organization where you work to also think about the topic and take action.
That's a powerful message. Also, something that I'd like to talk about that is very topical is COVID-19. What kind of impact has the pandemic had on everything around environmental sustainability?
Well, before I speak to that, of course, just want to acknowledge that COVID-19 has had a enormous impact on lives and livelihoods as well. And in terms of the environment, it's our firm belief that we cannot afford not to pay attention to climate change and the broader sustainability agenda, even at the time of COVID. So we need to take action, but it has had a lot of impact on lives and livelihoods as well. But about Corona and sustainability, or maybe to make it a bit more specific, climate change, there's a lot of similarities. So, they're both physical shocks. It's not some kind of financial shock. They're systemic, they're non-stationary, they're non-linear, which means that they grow disproportionately, there's thresholds, and when you go beyond that, the impact can grow exponentially. They are also both regressive, which means that both COVID-19 and climate change impact the most vulnerable populations the most. Even in terms of solutions, there's quite some similarities, because both issues, both problems require a shift from short-term performance to longer-term resilience. I just want to share, there's quite some similarities between COVID-19 and climate change, even though there's differences as well. For example, COVID came out of the blue. Well, not really out of the blue. Like, people knew that a pandemic could come, but it happened immediately with massive impact right away, whereas climate change is an issue that's been around for decades and is more slowly building up. But overall, there's lots of similarities between them. And of course, there's been quite some impact of COVID on the sustainability agenda and on progress here. Like, on the short term, emissions went down. Now we have massive recovery packages that I hope will be green, to invest in a green recovery to build back better. And lots of stuff happening on the global level. And when it comes to my work at McKinsey and making McKinsey more sustainable, I would say it's a little bit of a mixed bag. On the one hand side, what Corona, the crisis, did help with a bit is to, get all familiar with virtual working. And not just us, but also our clients are really stepping up the way we work remotely, virtually, and that can help to find a more sustainable travel model in the future. At the same time, it's not a great thing for addressing single-use plastics and waste. We were very well on track to phase out single-use plastics from all of our offices. All of our offices in Asia already got that done. And right now, with the safety measures and the hygiene, that's now being delayed.
You've also said something about the way of working. How has it changed your way of working, Job?
So my way of working has not been impacted as much as that of some of my colleagues, because my team has always been spread out over the world, and we've worked mostly virtually. That's not been impacted that much. I did used to go see and sometimes work together with some of my team members who are based in Europe in person every now and then, taking a train to London, Brussels, Paris, or something like that, and work together for the week from there. That's right now, not happening temporarily. But besides that, it hasn't really impacted my work that much. And if anything, what I sense amongst our clients is that the topic is just continuing to gain more traction. So it's not that it's being prioritized.
Good point, clients. McKinsey is heavily engaged in the topic of sustainability. A great resource to get some more insights, because we don't have that much time here, is our social responsibility report, which you can find on McKinsey.com. Why is the topic of sustainability such a high priority for clients?
I think first and foremost, it's about taking our responsibility for the planet. And I think a lot of CEOs and other leaders, leadership of our clients, I think they think it's a really important topic for the world. And business and the economy depends on a healthy planet. It's not that it's completely mutually exclusive or anything like that. Besides that, I can give you five more reasons why it's an important topic. One of them is that there's a lot of value at stake. If you, for example, look at climate risk and how many assets are basically at risk for example, extreme weather events being rendered obsolete as we, have to transition to a more sustainable energy model. If you look at whether insurance companies are still able to insure stuff if the risks are just adding up too much. But also on the opportunity side, if you actually reduce your energy consumption, you can save a lot of money. So that's one, value at stake. It makes business sense to become more sustainable. There's the regulatory point, right? Every ton of carbon, every bit of carbon emissions that you reduce today won't be able to be taxed in the future. So you just reduce your exposure to whatever regulation may come your way if you get sustainable sooner than later. You have investors that are increasingly requiring their portfolio companies, the companies that they have a stake in, to get more sustainable. You have customer expectations and green products or sustainable products growing much faster than other products, lots of success stories there. And maybe finally, it's also about talent. If you want to be able to attract the best talent in the future, if you want to continue to be able to do that, at the same time, you see that millennials really care a lot about what their employer does in terms of the environment. That's also important for every company. I would say a big list of reasons. And for every company, they may think one or two are more important than the others, and it may be different for everyone, but lots of different reasons.
Just a quick answer. Are you more optimistic or concerned about how things are developing?
I would say both. A little bit of both. So I'm very optimistic about the pace that action in by corporates is being taken at the moment. It seems to accelerate. Lots of new commitments, lots of exciting work that's ongoing. At the same time, when you look at the global emissions, and I'm now just limiting myself a bit to climate change, there's of course more issues, and they're all interconnected: biodiversity, plastic waste, You name it, other kinds of pollution. But when I just look at climate change, even though the level of action is really ramping up, emissions are still rising. Like the level of the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is higher now than it was a year ago, even though we had a COVID-19 crisis. So even though the action makes me optimistic, it doesn't seem to get us closer to the Paris Agreement yet.
And about action, since my last question before we start with our Ask Me Anything section, since you are our expert for environmental sustainability, I want, of course, learn from your experience and get some practical tips also for our listeners. So I'm all ears. What would you say? Is it more important to change small things in my day-to-day life, or do I need to change everything at once radically?
Well, I guess it depends on your appetite for change and whether you're able to do everything. Like, of course, like the faster, the best, the better. But just to give you an example of what I did in my own home office, the living room where I'm working from today.
For all the listeners, Job has just a great sense for interior design. We've also heard that from his colleagues, and I can see a very green plant behind him. It looks really great.
Yeah, I deliberately chose to sit by the plant today for this podcast. For example, in my apartment, I've double glazing to save on heating. All lighting in my apartment is LED lighting to save on energy. It's already a small apartment, as most apartments in Amsterdam, but that also helps. Because it's in Amsterdam, I can cycle and walk to many places, including when I go to work to our office. And I also contracted renewable electricity with the utility. So those are just some examples of what you can already do in your own workplace, in your own home office.
Okay. So thank you, Job. I could talk like an hour about this. So I'm sorry to interrupt you here. Now we're going to move to our Ask Me Anything section. Our followers may know by now that this is, of course, my favorite part of the show. We went on the virtual streets with our podcast and asked people what they want to know about McKinsey. And I would love to introduce you to today's special guests. So, Job, are you ready for your free Ask Me Anything questions and your interrogation?
I think I am.
So, question one comes from Anna. She is a student from South Africa.
Hi, my name is Anna from South Africa. I'm a petroleum geoscientist, and I wanted to know what type of skills do you look for when you hire?
Great question, Anna. Job, what type of skills is McKinsey looking for?
I think we'll look for people that thrive when working with other people, team players, that actively seek ways to maximize their own potential. It's about problem solving, creative thinking. Those are really, really important skills. Being adaptable, flexible, enjoying challenges to grow, to learn. I would say that's important. So yeah, I think our official criteria or like dimensions for are about inclusive leadership, personal impact, and entrepreneurial drive. But I think that's what I would say are the skills that we're looking for.
Okay, Anna, I hope that answered your question. The second question comes from Lisa. She studies cognitive neuroscience in Germany.
Hi, I'm Lisa from Germany. I'm currently doing my research master in cognitive neuroscience, and I wanted to know what career opportunities McKinsey has to offer for scientists.
Something that is really interesting for many listeners. Do you know any scientists who work at McKinsey, Job?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, different types of scientists. One of my best friends in the Amsterdam office, for example, is a climate scientist. I also, here in just talking about Amsterdam alone, we have, colleagues with a medical background, doctors, biomolecular scientists, like it's really a diverse place, and actually many people have a scientific background or a data science background. It's very diverse. And some colleagues also on their educational leave, whereas I did a Master of Business Administration, but there's also colleagues who take an educational leave to do a PhD. I would say it's actually very good opportunities for scientists, and we have quite a few of them.
Have you already met someone who studies forestry at who has studied forestry who works at McKinsey?
Yes, we have. yes, absolutely. We have we have forestry experts that work with our clients on the topic, and some of them have a very deep background in forestry. Absolutely.
And question three comes from Aline. She studies business and lives in beautiful Cologne.
Hello, McKinsey. This is Aileen from Germany. I'm a business student at the University of Cologne. And my question for this podcast is how the life and the work of a consultant, especially at McKinsey, will change due to the corona pandemic.
So thank you, Aline. Jop, how has the life of our consultants changed in the past few months?
We continue to serve our clients across industries, geographies, functions, and we work directly with them on topics including COVID-19, which is, as you can imagine, top of mind for many governments, nonprofits, businesses, and so also for our clients who are looking for counsel, help on navigating the current situation, which is challenging for everyone. It's become a topic that we do a lot of work on because it's a major challenge for many of our clients. As we do that, everyone is focused on how to best protect their lives, livelihoods, but also their own people, their employees, their customers, and so forth. So yeah, lots of challenges, lots of work to do here. Lots of thinking because it's a very challenging situation and we're trying to contribute there.
And what about recruiting? Is McKinsey still hiring?
Yes, we still hire. We continue to do so. I believe the recruiting process generally remains the same. We want to make sure that you as a candidate would have a positive experience as you get to know McKinsey. Irrespective of whether that would be in person in an interview or in a meeting or on Zoom. Actually, already before the pandemic started, we had started to switch some of our interviews to a virtual format. I think that has helped to quickly adapt when we had to move quickly earlier in the year due to the COVID-19 situation. We continue to interview, continue to hire, look forward to get to know you and talk about what opportunities we have at McKinsey.
My final roundup question is, we at McKinsey know all the classic technique of top-down communication, which is where you sum up the key message of what you say, preferably at the beginning of a presentation. My final question at the end of our podcast is, what is it that you would like our listeners to get out of our podcast today?
Wow, that's a good question. You catch me by surprise. What to take out of this podcast? I hope that by just sharing a bit how we go about this from the inside of our environmental sustainability team and efforts at McKinsey, that we can either inspire you to take some action yourself or to join us.
Great. That sounds like a really great call to action. Also apply, for instance, for our virtual events. And thank you, Jop, for this great interview. That's it today for our recruiting podcast episode. It was super interesting. I may join the green team immediately. And if it was really interesting and it was great to learn more about you and your role. So thanks for being a guest on our show, Jop.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
thanks for listening. If you have more questions or ideas for our show, just drop us a line on our podcast page, mckinsey.com/recruitingpodcast. To learn more about our recruiting, how to apply, and tons of other information, check out mckinsey.com/careers.